Anybody else want to check in? Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, hi, Paul. It's Brian.
Hi, Brian.
I tried not to fix things. I just sat back and listened, much to the shock and amazement of my roommate.
Wow. What did that feel like?
I had a gag on my face. No, I'm kidding. It was nice because I just sat back and listened and absorbed and didn't need to fix it. I didn't feel that my function was to repair. It was just to listen, and it helped a lot.
Great. Thank you. So what I want you to really get is that this can be one of two things. It can be a kind of fun phone call and, you know, some slightly interesting stuff, or it can be a turning point in your life where you never go back to the old way of relating. And it's like a friend of mine, Byron Katie, who teaches some incredible stuff. She has this story she tells, and it's like if you walk out the door and you see something that looks like a snake and you jump back and, you know, the heart starts beating and you're a little bit scared and you look over there and you're, you know, you get all your courage and maybe you go grab a shovel and you're going to go fix that snake and you get over there and it's a piece of rope.
Mm.
And now what happens is, can you ever go back and look at that piece of rope and try to scare yourself back into thinking it was a snake? Once you've seen it's a rope, it's a what?
It's a rope.
It's a rope. And it's like once you start to see these things, it's going to be hard to go back to building cases and taking it personal. And you're going to see it. It's just a rope. It's no longer the snake. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So how valuable is this? And is this going to be a turning point in your life and in your relationships and in your communication? I know it was for me. Pretty sure it was for Kristen, too. So let's just take a look. We're diving into today's content. Last week it was the five mistakes: case building, storytelling, message assuming, cup stuffing, fix, fight, or flee. Today we go into the four steps. Now here's sort of the tough question to start everybody off. How do you treat an upset adult if you want to save the relationship, if you want to connect with them? How do you treat an adult when they're upset?
Show empathy.
Yeah, that's part of it. It's sort of a little trick question here. You treat an adult like a kid.
Hmm.
Think about that. How many of you on the phone call are parents?
Me.
Okay, if you have a kid that, like, hurt their knee and they're come in and they're crying, what do? You comfort them. They want to know that they're special, that they're important, that they're loved. And see, the thing is, adults are no different. We want to know the same things. We don't want to know an explanation. We don't want to get a lecture. We don't want to get fixed. We want to get loved. So if you want a relationship to really last and blossom, you have to learn how to treat adults like kids and kids like adults. Does that make sense? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. And then we're going to dive into exactly how to do that. By the way, what kids want, what we all want, is we want understanding. So what stops us from giving people understanding? When somebody is, like, really upset, I'll give you an example. Kristen and I, the other night I had a dream that she had an affair. Ah, I woke up. Now, she didn't have an affair, but I woke up with the energy of that. Now, she could have treated me several different ways. One is go like, wake up, man. We work together and we live together. There's no time. Or she could have given me understanding. Now, what stops people from giving understanding is we think that understanding equals agreement. Write that down. Put it in big, bold letters. We're going to go through that on the third call. That's one of the seven keys. We think that understanding equals agreement. It doesn't. But what we're going to do today is give you the keys for creating really deep and rich understanding. And with that, I'm handing it over to you, Kristen.
Okay. And one more point. I'm not sure who originally said this, but it's brilliant. All communication comes down to being either an act of love or a cry for help.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how you communicate or what you communicate, you're either wanting to express that love towards somebody or you're crying for help. You're in pain. You need something. And Paul always uses the example of 911 as an example of some people, well, what do you think? When they bombed the World Trade Center, was that an act of love or a cry for help?
Cry for help.
Oh, yeah. Big cry for help. The people were in pain, and this was their cry for help. So the cries for help are usually...
I got to just say something before. I don't want to leave it there as if we're condoning their behavior. A lot of times the cry for help that we do is a bad strategy. In fact, the more desperate we are, oftentimes the worse the strategy is that we choose for crying for help. So we're not at all saying that it's okay to go do what they did. We just want to recognize it for what it is. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't want to leave it hanging there.
Okay. And then if there's a cry for help and it's met with another cry for help, then you have an escalating fight on your hands. So if you stop with any sort of communication and think about it, you'll see that it's all either a cry for help or an act of love.
Hmm.
Okay, we're going to go on to your worksheet that we gave to you called Who Bugs You? And hopefully you got that downloaded okay. Does everybody have that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And if you want to take just a second here and think about somebody in your life who's really bugging you right now, and put that down on your worksheet. And also on your worksheet, you're going to have, glad you're ready because I'm not.
Write down what they did that upset you, frustrated, angered, or hurt, or depressed you. So I was really upset and disappointed with my dad because he would drink a lot and it was scary for me.
And then write down what that meant to you. So, sweetie, when your dad drank, what did it mean to you?
It meant that he was out of control and things were dangerous around the house. And I felt scared and embarrassed, actually.
Okay, which would be number 4.
Oh, sorry.
Write down how you felt about what happened. So scared and embarrassed. And then 5 is describe how you let the person know your feelings and what you wanted them to do. So did you ever tell your dad about, I mean, when you were younger, about drinking? I know you talked about it when you're older, but...
Yeah, I let him know that I thought it was stupid, and I definitely, I did not use the language of peace at all.
Told him it was stupid. Okay. Now, does anybody have a situation they'd like to share?
And you can use passcodes. You don't have to use their actual names or anything
can,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, change the name to protect the guilty.
But if you could just give us one or two examples of somebody in your life, a friend or something, and what they're doing.
This is Sobel, Paul and Kristen. I'm thinking of a colleague who often comes unprepared or does not carry through on tasks that she says she'll take on. And I tend to experience frustration and anger.
Right.
And what does it mean to you?
What does it mean to me? Now that's where I get a little puzzled. What does it mean to me?
Does it mean
I make
to blame me or rude or...
Oh. I feel that the tasks that we've taken, that our agreements are being dismissed, and that, so I feel sad. Oh, I'm still not quite getting this. Help me with this a little bit.
Well, actually, on this, we're asking you to be a jackal and go ahead and just say...
I think she's a complete slime bucket.
There you go.
That's pretty clear.
Exactly. Irresponsible, unreliable, sewer.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what it means to you. Yeah, and then we'll work with that later.
Okay.
And then have you let her know in any way how you feel about this?
Not ever.
No? Not even rolling of eyes and...
That's usually one of my primary strategies, but I haven't used it.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's very interesting. I think that actually it distresses me to such a degree that I'm completely underground about it.
Okay, yeah.
So that would be, if you look at the mistakes earlier, there's a story you're telling yourself and you're believing your story. When I won't tell Kristen what's going on for me or she won't tell me what's going on for her, that's when we're believing our story.
I'm believing the story about her, and I'm also believing the story that the strategy I'm employing is going to make it safer and will protect me and protect her. I've got some story in my head not only about her, but about the strategy that I'm using. I believe that the strategy is correct because I think it will reduce the possibility of a big blow-up, that a big blow-up will be bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That if I say exactly... because I don't yet have a facility with this NVC style, that if I say directly, in the way that I'm likely to say it, we'll have an even bigger mess.
Right.
So that's what keeps us silent, and that's what gets us into what's called nice relationships. And the nice relationships where you're not interested in connecting emotionally.
Hmm.
And so what happens, though, is it ends up being a dead relationship, a nice dead relationship. It's like, if we didn't do the dishes around the house, each night, if we just even didn't do like one or two dishes and let each night another dish accumulated, we did most of the dishes, but, you know, just skipped one or two, what would happen after a couple of months? All the dishes would end up being dirty. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd end up eating out. You'd have to go somewhere else. The kitchen's too messy to even want to go in there. And see, this is what happens when we have affairs. People start, you know, leaving the relationship, all the rest of it. What it is the kitchen at home has become too dirty. There's too much stuff accumulated because we didn't take it on. And so what we're going to do is give you the tools to take it on so you can have that live, vibrant relationship with the people you want to. You don't have to use it, but it's if you want to use it. And Einstein said this, he said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And what we say is insanity is communicating the same way over and over again, expecting a different result. So we're going to dive into the tools. And the tools we're going to give you today are based on, and a lot of my work is based on, the work of a guy who I really admire, Dr. Marshall Rosenberg from Nonviolent Communication. I went over and studied with him in Sweden, and Kristen has gotten to study with him here. And what he did that's really unique is he took this incredibly complex thing called communication, and it's like, if you have a really complex 2,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and you don't have the picture of what it's supposed to put together, what are the chances of putting those 2,000 pieces together?
Slim and none.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. By the way, everybody got to participate again this week. Thank you so much for diving right in. So what Marshall did is he gave me the picture. He didn't just give it to me. He's given it to like 100,000 people. And there's, if you get out, it's called the Communication Choice. It's one of your handouts. And I'm going to go through that basically pretty quickly here, and then we're going to give you an example. It's got 8 pieces. How many pieces?
8.
There's 4 on the side if you want to build a connection, 4 on the side if you want to build a case. And we want to really know when we're building a case so that we can be a choice. There's days that I build cases, and I just say, okay, today's my day for building a case. Forget this connection. Forget mm-hmm. compassion. I'm going to be a jerk. Anyway, I'm revealing the truth here. Then the other side, though, is when we want to connect, and it's sort of like a combination lock. If you have a combination lock that has 4 numbers rather than 3, not only do you need the right numbers, but what else do you need?
Right order.
Yeah, if you don't get them in the right order, you lose out. So here's the order that we go in. Observation, which is, any of you remember Dragnet? Just give me the facts, ma'am, just the facts. So that the observations, what you can see, hear, touch, and then what feelings came up. When I saw that, I felt this. What needs of yours were either met or not met. And then what requests you have. And you want to always end on a request. And we're going to get a little bit more into this. Kristen's going to go through the feelings and needs sheet to give you a little more of how they connect. And this may seem like a subtle difference. This is a transformational difference. When you get it that your feelings are driven by your needs either being met or not being met, rather than the person that's in front of you, rather than whether your coworker shows up prepared or not prepared, it's easy to think that they're the cause of whatever feelings you have versus you have certain needs that aren't being met in that moment. And you'd like those needs to be met, and you want to ask in a way that they want to give you that rather than demanding it from them, and the last thing they want to do is give it to you. So any questions on anything we've covered so far?
Oh, this is great.
This is Canella from Miami, and hi. Last week after the conference, I went and talked to my roommate, and then I talked to my niece about the trash, and, you know, I was very honest. It was like I was making her wrong, and I didn't want to do that because she's, you know, definitely a worthwhile person, and we just talked. It's been much better this week. So that's been great, but I just wanted to get what you said about there's four ways to connect. Is that what you were saying? The observation, the feelings come up, the needs being met, and then they give us what we want?
No, you make a request.
Okay, got it. I was just like, huh, what happened?
No, there's four. It's not four ways, it's four steps. When you're using the language of peace, there's four steps. When you want to communicate, like, to your niece, you can talk about the observation. When I saw the trash still there, I felt a little disappointed and discouraged. And I'm needing some support and understanding. Could you tell me what happened?